Well, as we continue on in the Gospel of John, we're in the section, the end of chapter 13 all the way through chapter 18, where we get to hear Jesus' final words to his people, to his followers, before he goes to the cross. And they're still not quite understanding what he's doing or what he's saying, but they're starting to. He's changing the way he's speaking to them now. He has been speaking in really in veiled ways up until now, intentionally. Some of the language that he would use, the reason he would speak in parables, was so that those who were just there for a good show or who were just there because they wanted food at some of the miracles there would kind of self-select and walk away when they didn't understand what he was saying and they didn't really want to know him. But for those who wanted to seek him and to know him, they would stay and they would listen and they would ask. Remember, throughout the whole kind of first half of the Gospel of John, we kept seeing this, come and see and follow. Come to Jesus. See him. Look at him. Look at his miracles. Listen to his words and then follow him. Well, as we continue on in chapter 14, now Jesus is coming to the part where as he goes away, he gives us his promise. He gives us a very precious promise. Please turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, this morning we will be studying verses 15 through 31. As you're turning there, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we ask that by your Holy Spirit you would quicken our souls. You would awaken our minds, O Lord God, to you, that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and hear you, Lord Jesus, and we would love you. We would believe you. We would place our faith in you, O Lord God. I pray, Lord, you would give us ears to hear, to listen to what you say to us, O God, to listen to your commands to us. And that by the empowering of your Holy Spirit, we would be doers of your word as well, O God. Pray for those who have gathered this morning who are struggling to believe you, O Lord God. Whatever circumstances in life are occurring, those who are having a difficult time trusting in who you declare yourself to be, I pray that you would bring encouragement, that you would strengthen us this morning, O God. I pray for any of us who've gathered where we are distracted right now by the things of the world or by anything, Lord, besides you, that you would work within our hearts and our souls, O Lord God, to show us the light of the glory of Jesus, and that you would captivate us by your presence and your holiness and your love, that we would worship you, O Lord God. Be glorified in our midst this morning, O Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whomever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is God's word. In this whole section here, Jesus is going to the Father, and all that he is saying is in light of that. All that he is instructing and telling and teaching and sharing with his disciples is because he's going to the Father. And there's a shift in the relationship. We'll see in chapter 15 that Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because I'm telling you all my plans. I'm laying it all out for you. And now you are my friends. So think about that for a minute. The various relationships we have with Jesus. God is so big, right? He's not just our master and we're his servants, though that is true. Michael read from Isaiah this morning that God is the potter and we are the clay. That's another type of relationship, right? The clay doesn't get to say to the potter, no, I want to be a cup. No, I want to be a bowl or a spoon. No, the potter says, here is my loving design for you as your master, as the one who forms you. Jesus is our king as one of our relationships. God is our Father, another relationship. But also later in John, he is our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Only God is big enough to be able to encompass all those different ways that he relates to us. And it's wonderful to reflect on all those different ways. Here, he is called again and again Father, and we see the relationship between the Father and Jesus, and now we see the third person of the Trinity comes in, and that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus in this passage tells us in verses 15 to 21 that he sends the Holy Spirit to his followers. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to his followers. He shares with them here that he's going to ask the Father, verse 16, and the Father will send a helper who will be with us. This is the Spirit of truth. The world doesn't receive the Spirit, he says, because they don't see him or know him. They don't see him because he's Spirit. They don't know him. Why? Jesus says, you know him. His followers, his disciples, those who love him, know the Spirit, for, verse 17, end of verse 17, he dwells with you and will be in you. Here's where we get the teaching, the learning that we have from Jesus, the theology that believers in Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit. That God sends the Holy Spirit to dwell within all believers, not non-believers. Now, the Spirit of God cannot be put in a box. The Spirit of God is all places, right? God is omnipresent. But in a special way, the Holy Spirit is given into the hearts, the beings, the soul of all who believe in Jesus Christ. This is another way in which we are never alone. It's important. It's going to come up here later in this passage too, talking about why there's no need to fear. Yes, we can say God is all places. So wherever we go, God is there, right? Wherever, if you have other family members or friends or co-workers or classmates, or wherever they are right now, God is there. The strife and wars around the world, God is in Ukraine right now. God is everywhere. His Spirit is also within us, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. Mixed throughout all these verses here, and we're going to see in three different sections in this passage what Jesus does for his followers as he is going to the Father. Okay, there's going to be three things that Jesus does for his followers as Jesus goes to the Father. But woven into each of them there is, what does it mean to be a follower? Who are these people whom Jesus is going to do these three things for? I've used it in the outline here. I've used the word follower, but that's not what is described here in that language. That word isn't used in this passage here. Jesus keeps talking about what? Those who love him. If you love me. If you love me, then all of this happens. We rightly talk, and I hope we rightly understand, that we are in relationship with Jesus because of God's grace, God's free gift to us, through faith in Jesus Christ. This is where John used the language believe, where we believe in Jesus. We have put our faith in Jesus for our salvation, not, as Ephesians 2 calls out, not our good works. Not the things we do, right? So being a good person and doing good things doesn't earn us God's love. It doesn't save us and save our souls. It doesn't have God save us. We are not born again through doing good things, good deeds. It's a really important reality that the scriptures teach us. It's such a foundation of how God interacts with us, that it is his gift through our faith, not through trying to be good. Why? Because, as again, as Michael was reading from Isaiah, all of our works are as polluted rags, filthy rags, right? Because of sin, we cannot be good. Doesn't mean we can't do good things, but at our core, we cannot be good. And so God does not come and say, you must live up to this standard of perfection in all the works you do and all the things you do. By his grace, his great love for us, he says, believe in me. And believing in Jesus, we are saved. Yes, got that, right? That's part one, right? We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And, not but, and when we are saved by God's grace through faith, from us will come good works that will flow out of us. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. And we love Jesus, and we want to do as he does and imitate him and follow him, right? That's what Christian means, little Christs, that we imitate. We are followers of him. To follow him means to do what he does. And so, how's the phrase? I didn't write it down. I should have. The Reformation phrase. Saving faith is never alone, but always accompanied by good works. Okay? We cannot say, I believe, and now that's it, I'm done. I'm not going to do anything now. We're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. But when we are saved by faith, good works come from us, from those who are truly saved. I say all that because that's what Jesus says much more quickly than I just did in this opening passage and throughout this entire passage. He says here, verse 15, if you love me, what? You will keep my commandments. If we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments. And so, we need to be in listening to the words of Jesus so we know his commandments, which he's going to talk about in this passage. And he talked about last week, right? What was his commandment that he summarized everything on? Love one another. That we love each other. That we love each other. This is the commandment of Jesus to us, that we love one another. Those are the ones who love him as we love one another. Keeping all his commandments. And there is just one summary, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the question comes, okay, what does it mean to love your neighbor? Oh, there's the Good Samaritan parable right there, right? That's a hard parable. I think we typically like to think of ourselves as being, of course, we'd be the Good Samaritan. It's not the way Jesus tells the story, right? It was the religious people who didn't want anything to do with helping some lowlife, miscreant person. It was the person that we would have thought, and I won't even put any categories to it because we won't go there right now. It was the person who we would have viewed as despicable, who helped, who showed love to the man who was hurt. So throughout this entire passage, Jesus says, those who love him keep his commandments. The first thing Jesus does is Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to his followers. I think I said that. Verses 15 through 21. Yeah, I had said that. He sends the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave us alone in verse 18. He's not going to leave. Jesus is physically going to the Father, but he's not leaving us alone. We're never alone. No. He says, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and when I go, I will come back. End of verse 19. Because I live, you also will live. That we, for eternity, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and we will be with them. Heaven. Heaven, my dear brothers and sisters. Where there will be no more sorrow, no fear, no anxiety. There will be no pain. There will be no suffering. There will be no broken promises, no misunderstandings, no heartache, no body ache, no backache. We will live in unity with God and with one another. Oh, what a glorious day. Oh, what a glorious future awaits for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks here of this relationship, this connection that we will have with him and the Father and the Spirit for all eternity. And he speaks here in verse 21, again, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by the Father. I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. Jesus makes himself known to those who love him, who keep his commandments, who love one another. Where's God? Let us love one another. That Jesus promises to manifest himself to us. We have the Holy Spirit from God that Jesus sends to his followers, and he says he leads us into all truth. The Spirit reminds us of what Jesus says. The Spirit is at work within us. The Spirit has many roles, the work of the Holy Spirit. Part of it is that he gives us also the gifts of the Spirit. Part of it is that he develops the fruit of the Spirit within us. But another task that Jesus calls out here is he reminds us of the truth of the teaching of Jesus. He brings it to our mind when we are submitted to him, when we are loving Jesus by obeying his commandments, which are to love one another. He sends the Holy Spirit to his followers. Second thing, Jesus abides with his followers. He dwells with his followers. He makes his home with his followers. Beginning in verse 22, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, says to him, Lord, how is it or why will you manifest, make known, right, to manifest is to make known, to present. Says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? What do you mean that you're going to present yourself? You're going to make yourself known to us, but not to everybody else? What's up with that? Jesus answers in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, can you remember back to the beginning of chapter 14? Okay? Where Jesus is first telling his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled, but I'm going away. And he's talking about the cross and then ascending into heaven, be by the Father's side. He says, I'm going home, I'm going to the Father, and he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and says, this is chapter 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. Now, I think it was the King James that used the word mansions there, right? And I'm not a King James expert by any stretch of the imagination. My understanding is in Old English then, it actually just meant a simple abode, a simple habitat, not like a big, luxurious, what we think of as a mansion now, right? I think we used to read that and go, wow, that's my reward. In heaven, I get a massive dwelling place. I get a mansion. That's an awesome reward. Wow, do you want a mansion for all eternity? Then believe in Jesus. I would suggest that if that is the reward we are excited about, we don't know Jesus really well. Our reward in heaven isn't a nice vacation home on a golf course or a beachfront or whatever your pleasures are. Our reward in heaven is Jesus himself. We get to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. The one who made you and loves you and rescues you and saves you and who will wash away all of our sin and sadness, and we will have that intimate, perfect relationship with him for all eternity. Keep your mansions. I don't want that. I think John Piper wrote in his book, God is the Gospel. I'm going to paraphrase here, but if you can picture heaven with all of its glory and all of its splendor and all the descriptions that we have, which I know are descriptions and because our mind can't even begin to think about it, but all of the feasting that is there and all of the, like, you know, free of sorrow and all of the joy, and all, if you could have all of that in heaven, but Jesus wasn't there, if it's still appealing to you, you've missed the gospel. We've missed it. That no matter what is there without Jesus, it is garbage. So in this, in the beginning of chapter 14, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you so I can take you to be with me. Now, here in our passage this morning in verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, the Father and I will come to him and we'll make our home with him. Those are actually the same words there. When he says, in my Father's house are many rooms, it's the word abode, like, you know, think of a dwelling. In my Father's place where he dwells. And now he says, my Father, I will come and we will dwell with you. It's the same idea there of living together and intimate fellowship. That's his promise. If we are his followers, as Jesus goes to the Father, he first sends the Holy Spirit, and now he says that I will dwell with you for all eternity. Man, that's awesome. Third and final, in verses 25 to 31, Jesus gives peace to his followers. Peace. He says, in verse 25, I'm not going to be here much longer. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit will come. The Father will send him in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He gives the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and dwell with us. And now he says in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He's circling back to where he began at the beginning of chapter 14. Let not our hearts be troubled. Jesus gives us his peace. There is an intimate knowledge. There is an experience of peace when we dwell on the reality that because Jesus goes to the Father, which means through the cross, because he goes to the cross, that we are at peace with God. That we are at peace with God. We are no longer in rebellion to him. We are no longer cast out. That between us exists peace. Think about this. Dwell on this. Not because we worked really hard and we were such good people and we came to church or listened to a sermon or bought a Bible or gave some money or whatever. Because Jesus went to the Father through the cross, all who love him, who believe in him, who hope in him, we have peace with the Father. And therefore, as we just let our minds and our hearts marinate in that reality, right? That's just a reality outside of us, in a sense, right? That God is at peace with us now because of the work of Jesus, if we believe in him. But as we dwell on that, now we can let our hearts not be troubled. Because God is the mighty King, the judge over all, and he is holy. He's not just a grandfather, nice person, you know, grandfatherly kind of a, oh gosh, don't worry about it. Sin's not a big deal. No, sin is so serious. Jesus had to die on the cross because of our sins. But now, because of Jesus dying for us, we are at peace with God. And we can experience that peace as we meditate on the reality of our relationship with God. Jesus goes to the Father, and it's sad for us, but Jesus says, look, you should be happy for me. I'm going to go back to my Father. If you love me, you should be thrilled that I'm reunited with my Father in this the way that it was before my incarnation. But also, rejoice because his going means going to the cross, which is what makes everything possible here in our relationship to him. As he goes to the Father, he promises, he sends his Holy Spirit. He abides with us, and he gives peace to us. Those who believe, who love him, and keep his word. If we love Jesus, we obey his teaching, his commandments to love one another. Let us love one another. Let us love Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for creating your home with us. Thank you for your peace. I pray, O God, that we would be your people and we would keep your commandments. Show us how to love, Father. We think we're really good at it, but so often we're not. Teach us to love, O God, you and one another and our neighbors. I pray too, Lord, that you would give us your peace, that our hearts would not be troubled. That in all things, wherever each one of us are today, O Lord God, that our hearts would not be troubled, but we would trust in you, our living Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.